Book of James, chapter number one. I love the book of James. And our dear brother who was over there in Germany, who wrote the 99 Theses and nailed it to the door, of course, he hated the book of James because he didn't understand what James was saying in his book. And he said, I'm going to use the book of James to start my fire. Because he was concerned what James had to say about faith and works. But what James said is true. Faith without works is dead. Amen. Because faith produces work. We're not saved by works, but faith does produce good works in our life. And thank God that it does. All right. I was just forgetting that dear brother's name. Martin Luther, that's right, Martin Luther. All right, James chapter 1, amen. Look what it says there in verse number 16, where we'll start today. It says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now, there's a great truth there. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nighness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continuing therein," or continueth therein, "he being not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, and deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now we're going to take our text this morning out of verse number 17. And it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And what I want to preach on this morning are the gifts of God. The gifts of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I am so thankful for the gifts of God this morning. And God, your gifts are so great. And Lord, thank God that you give them freely to all that will receive them. And Lord, you're faithful. You're good. There's no variableness nor turning a shadow with thee. God, you don't give and take back. But God, you give and you give generously forever. And we're so thankful for it. Bless the word as I preach this morning on the gifts of God. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as I preach on this thought of the gifts of God, we know that it's been said at Christmas time, they say it's the most wonderful time of the year. I think they had a song about that, right? It's the most wonderful time of the year. But you know what? I can agree with that. Christmas time is the most wonderful time of the year. It's a magnificent time. Thank God that it is. It's majestic. It's kind of a magical in a sense, because there's so much excitement when it comes to what Christmas means, especially to young people. They get so excited when it comes to Christmas time and gifts and the ideal of giving. You know, and Christmas time is a time of giving and receiving, a time of sharing and caring, a time of love and compassion. You know, and I love this time of year. Amen. It's the greatest time of the year. It really is. But you know, the sad thing is the world wants Christmas, but they don't want the Christ that it's all about. Isn't that the truth? You go out and start talking about Jesus Christ, and people get their shorts in a knot. They get upset. And I said, what are you getting so upset about? The whole Christmas season is about Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we try and focus on Christ's coming when it comes to Christmas. What he did for us. He came to this world. God became a man. Amen. And that's why we can have joy. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Amen. And thank God for it. Now, when it comes to Christmas, everybody loves Christmas gifts. Isn't that the truth? Everybody loves Christmas gifts. I don't like Christmas gifts. Good, I ain't getting you none. But everybody loves Christmas gifts, and the truth of the matter is. And Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it says, more blessed to give than receive. Can we agree with that? I mean, there is a joy in giving to others. When you give a little child a present, and they're so excited, and they're so happy, there is a joy about that. When you give to someone who's less fortunate, when you help somebody, there is a joy in being a blessing to others. They were talking on the news about the Chattanooga Rescue Mission, how they had served 800 meals on Thanksgiving Day, and that there were another 400 meals that they took out. You know, that's a joy. They had the volunteers there, people giving. And you know what? It is there's just a fulfillment in being a blessing to others. And the Bible bears that out. If you look with me in Luke chapter number 6, because we're talking about giving this morning. And all the Bible says about that. Luke 6 and verse number 30, if you'll look there with me. It says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Hey, what do I always say? If you can't help somebody, you probably should help somebody. Amen. If you can be a blessing to someone, help them if you can. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also them likewise. If you were in trouble, wouldn't you want someone to help you? Sure you would. And so if you can help someone else that's in trouble, that's a good thing. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive so much again. But love ye your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet withal shall be measured to you again. Hey, there's a blessing in giving. And those who water, the Bible says, will be watered. Those who give, God will give to them. And there's just something about giving that is such a great experience. The giver is always more blessed than the person receiving. Amen. And there's a great truth there. And in our text here, it says that every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect gift. You know, God always gives us the best that he has. Amen. God always gives them. He's not like us. We give God the leftovers, but God always. Can you imagine if God gave us the leftover air? Well, you wouldn't want it, right? Here, I'm going to give you some carbon dioxide to breathe. You wouldn't want it. Hey, God said, hey, I'm going to give you some dirty water. You wouldn't want it. Hey, God said, hey, I'm going to give you a old, used up, no good for nothing planet. But see, God isn't like us. Aren't you glad? God always gives his best, amen, to the sinner and to the saint. God rains down his blessings upon us in a daily way. And thank God, the gifts of God, they're so great, like life. You know, life is a gift. Life is a gift. And we squander the gift that God gives us, but life is a gift. I was watching a lady yesterday, and she could barely breathe, and she was sucking on one of these vapor things. And I'm thinking, you already can't breathe, and now you're sucking on a vapor thing. And they just came out this last couple months and said, hey, and all those vape things that people are doing, there's metal shavings in there. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I said, you'd be a whole lot better to go smoke cigarettes than you would to do vaping. Vaping's the worst thing people can do. And I thought to myself, she is squandering her life. God has given every one of us life. I think about those people that smoke crack and those people that do meth and those people that are alcoholics and those people that abuse their body. You say, what are they? They're squandering the gift of God because life is a gift. Fresh air is a gift. Clean water is a gift. Sunlight's a gift. Food is a gift. The creation, animals, nature's a gift. The happiness we experience is a gift. And see, we take for granted those gifts every day, do we not? We sat around the little campfire last night, and Sarah and the kids were burning a fire, and you look up in the sky, and the full moon was so bright and beautiful. You know, that's a gift. the beauty of nature. You think about that for a minute. And, you know, God's gifts are the best because they're free. Everyone can get in on them. Isn't that the truth? God doesn't exclude anybody when it comes to His gifts. Hey, God's all about everybody receiving the gift. God's gifts are full. They're enjoyable. They fill us with peace and joy. Thank God God's gifts are forever. They're lasting. Romans 11:29 says the gift of God, the gift and calling of God are without repentance. Hey, God's gifts are forever. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, knew that. In Ecclesiastes 3:14, he said, I know whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. God doeth it that men should fear before him. Hey, thank God. When God gives a gift, it's a great gift that he gives. Amen. Now this morning, I want to look at some simple gifts that God gives. Some simple gifts that God gives. Nothing hard this morning. And just God gives many gifts, but I want to look at four of the simple little gifts that God gives. And obviously this morning, the first one, you'll know where I'm going with this, is salvation is the gift of God. Amen. Thank God for salvation this morning. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 4. You say, well, you should be going to John chapter number 3. We will, but John chapter number 4. Remember that woman at the well? And she had come in the heat of the day to fill her pot with water. And of course, she was despised and disdained. She was a harlot. She'd been married five times. And the man that she was with it currently wasn't her husband. Amen. And so she was a woman of ill repute, despised by the people, looked down upon, living in sin, living in shame. And she comes to get a drink of water. And Jesus Christ interacts with her in John chapter number 4. You'll pick it up in verse number 7. There cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. She is saying there, give me to drink, for the disciples were gone away into the sea to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou being a Jew ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Amen. They were half-breeds. They were considered unclean, filthy, dirty, defiled. Just by their pedigree, let alone by the position that they had as living in sin. Verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. You see, salvation is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. You know what the sad thing is? Salvation is such a great gift of God, but there's so many that don't know it. You know, people think they got to work to get their salvation. Most of the world is trying to work to get their salvation. They're holding on, they're trying to hold on for dear life, trying to do their best to get to heaven. And you know what? They're not going to get to heaven. Because you can't get to heaven by working to go to heaven. They don't know that the salvation is the gift of God. This Samaritan woman was religious. She worshipped the gods of Samaria. She worshipped in the mountain of Samaria. But she did not know the gift of God. And that's why he said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, you'd have asked of me and I'd have given you living waters would I have given you. Everlasting life is what I'd have given you. But see, she thought she had to work to get it. She thought she had to worship to get it. You know, people are so religious. People say, well, I need to get some religion. I need to get some religion. I need to get some religion. Let me tell you, you get all religion in the world, but that won't get you into heaven. Just like working won't get you into heaven. Just like wealth won't get you into heaven. People think, well, I'll buy my way into heaven. Let me tell you, you can't buy your way into heaven. Amen. You can't bribe God. You know, I love people who say, well, God, if you do this, I'll do this. If you help me, if you save me, if you get me out of this trouble, then you'll be my Savior. Listen, you can't bribe God. Can't buy your way into heaven. Bob Hope said, hey, he told a preacher, trying to tell Bob Hope how to be saved, and I'll never forget it. And Bob Hope said, hey, when you've given as much to charity as I have, then you can tell me that I need Jesus Christ. Remember Simon the sorcerer? He thought he could buy the gift of God. And what did Peter tell him? He said, hey, you can't buy the gift of God, friend. He said, hey, the judgment of God is against you. You can't buy your way in. You say, why? Because it's free. Isaiah 55, thank God for Isaiah 55. The Bible makes it very clear when it comes to salvation and it comes to forgiveness and it comes to what God is offering. Thank God that it's free. Isaiah 55, he said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently to me, eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Thank God you don't have to buy your way into heaven. God, you know why Christ came the way he did? Because he wanted to show the world, hey, that anyone could get in on it. He wasn't born in a palace, hallelujah. He was born in the manger to a lowly, poor couple that had nothing. Amen. To show us that the gift of God is free. What did Peter and John tell the man laid at the beautiful gate of the temple? They said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You see, the gift of God's not for sale. Thank God, the gift of God, the gift of salvation is free. That's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If only the world knew that salvation was free. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we quote it all the time. For by grace you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad that salvation isn't of ourselves. I'm glad that salvation is of the Lord. And thank God, it's a free gift that God offers to all. How sad it is that people don't know the gift is free. How sad that is. Thank God salvation's free, and thank God it's full. You say, what's it mean to be full? Complete. Amen. I'm complete in Jesus Christ. Look in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. And as Paul writes to the believers in Colossae, Colossians chapter number 2, and if you'll notice in verse number 6, we'll start there. Colossians 2 and verse number 6, and he says this, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that means made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Thank God I am complete in Jesus Christ. You know what the woman at the well found? She found that she was complete in him. Amen. You know what the lame man found out? That he was complete in Jesus Christ. They found out that it was free, and they found out, thank God, that it was full this morning. Thank God for full salvation. People ask me all the time, do you believe in full salvation? Well, you better believe I believe in full salvation. Amen. Every promise in the Bible is mine. Every book, every page, every line. I am trusting in His grace divine. Every promise in the Bible is mine. Amen and hallelujah. I believe in full salvation. I didn't know what fullness was until I got saved. You say, what is fullness? You know when you're full, you're satisfied. You know how you ate Thanksgiving dinner and you were more than satisfied? And you were ready to throw up because you ate so much food. Can I tell you, I am so full and complete in Jesus Christ. Amen. And thank God it wasn't for something that happened for a moment. It's been something that happened since December 15th, 1979. Amen. 40 years later, it'd be 41 years. Is it 40, 79? Yeah. It'd be 41 years this December. And I've been so full in Christ. You know, I feel sorry for these people that are so empty. You know how sad it'd be for someone to be hungry and yet they're offering food? You know, if someone went hungry in Chattanooga, it's because they were too lazy to go get some food. Because the Chattanooga Rescue Mission wasn't turning away anybody. The community kitchen wasn't turning away anybody. Hey, there are so many helps here in Chattanooga to help people that are hungry and homeless and without. And yet people go without because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I'm thankful this morning for the gift of salvation. Thank God it was free. If I'd have had to buy it, I'd have never got it. But thank God once I got it, I became full. Amen. And I have never wanted... Hey, since believing on Jesus Christ, my life has been completely changed. And 40 years later, I'm just as satisfied today as I was the day I got saved. Because it's full salvation. It's free salvation. Thank God it's forever salvation. Yeah. Can you imagine if you got salvation and then you could lose it 5 minutes later? I don't know about you. Years ago, I used to be prone to losing things. Kind of like the kids are today. You know, Liam will make a little bit of money. And I said, Liam, you know, he said, I want to put it in my pocket. I said, good, because as soon as it falls out, I'm putting it in my pocket. Because they're prone to lose things, right? You know? But you know what? Thank God we can't lose our salvation. Amen. Because it's God's salvation that He gives to us. Amen. And John chapter number 10, that's why salvation is such a free gift, such a great gift. Look over in John chapter number 10, and we quote these verses all the time and read them, but it's to remind ourselves that we have a forever salvation. Amen. John 10 and 27, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." You know, Miss Faye's more alive today than she's ever been her entire life. She's with the Lord. You say, why? Because we have forever salvation. "My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." You know, I say all the time, I don't think I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. Thank God all my sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. I tell people that and they lose their mind, but can I tell you this? I can't wrap my head around that either. And guess what? No one can wrap their head around that. Because that's how great the gift of God is. That's why the Bible calls it a great salvation. Because we can't begin to understand it. You can't begin to understand how great our salvation is. Thank God. Jude 24. "Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the throne of His glory with exceeding joy." Salvation is the great gift of God. It's free, it's full, and it's forever. Amen. But can I tell you, not only is salvation the gift of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is the gift of God. And it was given on the day of Pentecost. If you look with me in Acts chapter number 1, it was given to the church, to the body of Christ, to the believers. Acts chapter number 1, and Jesus, before he ascended up into heaven, he gave his disciples instruction in verse 4, and he said, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of him. For John truly baptized with water, and ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom of Israel to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times, the seasons the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Spirit's the gift of God, given to the church, given to the bride, given to the saints. And the purpose in verse 8 was for power and courage and boldness to be a mighty witness to a lost and dying world. Thank God for the gift of the Spirit of God. You say, what was it given for? It wasn't given to jump up and down, act like an idiot. It wasn't given to fall down the floor and make a fool out of yourselves. No, it was given to be a powerful, Spirit-filled witness for Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost was given for a purpose, and it was for power. You know what we have in Jesus Christ? We have the most powerful thing that the world's ever seen. More powerful than 100 nuclear bombs. The power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's a great gift that God has given to every child of God. Given for power. Given for protection. You say, what protects us from the enemy? What protects us from evil? What keeps us safe? Look in 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. You know, thank God I am safe in Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John chapter number 4, and look at verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone to the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is God, is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know what keeps me safe from evil spirits? You say, Brother Chris, do you believe in evil spirits? Of course I believe in evil spirits. But you know what keeps me safe from evil spirits? It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Which is more powerful than any other spirit that is in the world. More powerful than Antichrist. More powerful than our enemies. Can I tell you how many times in my life the Holy Ghost has protected me and kept me safe? Thank God I don't have the spirit of fear. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Look in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote to the believers in Rome and recorded these promises that we have in Jesus Christ. Romans 8, and in verse number 31, notice what it says. He says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You say, why? Because we got the Holy Ghost inside of us. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also, look what it says, freely give us all things. Freely give us all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You've read in Romans chapter 8 where the Holy Ghost makes groanings and intercessions. Thank God for the gift of God. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, protection. preservation. That Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Thank God I'm sealed and secure in Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Peter 5 says that he's preserved us. And let me look on over there. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter 1. And if you'll notice, in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 5 is what we're looking for. 1 Peter 1 and 5. And he says this, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready revealed at the last time. He gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost for power, for protection, for preservation. The third gift this morning is very simple. The gift of serenity. You say, what is the gift of serenity? It's the peace of God. If you've ever experienced the peace of God, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. The peace of God is a gift. You know what God's taken away from sinners in this world? He's taken away their peace. And it's why they're so mentally disturbed. It's why they have so many problems. It's why they're in such fear. Because the peace of God is a gift that comes from God. In John chapter number 14, when Jesus Christ was getting ready to leave, he's ministering to his disciples in the upper room, and he says to them, in verse number 25, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You say, what does God do? He gives the peace of God that passes all understanding. That Bible says, I'll keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thank God. The peace of God is a gift that God gives. Philippians 4 and in verse number 6 and 7, we quote these verses all the time. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace of mind is a great gift. Calmness, clarity, the great gift of God. You know, the world will never understand the gifts of God, especially serenity. Especially serenity. What's the Bible say in Isaiah 57? There is no peace to the wicked, saith my God. Their wicked are like a troubled sea that cannot rest. That's why you see so many homeless people running up down the street, half naked, acting crazy. You say, what? They got no peace. Remember the maniac of Gadara? The maniac of Gadara, the man that was possessed with the legion? He would pluck asunder his chains. They couldn't bind the man. They couldn't tame the man. He was naked, crying, cutting himself, living in the tombs day and night. He was out of his mind. Until he came to meet Jesus. And then they found him clothed and sitting in his right mind. You say, what is that? That's the peace of God. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Can I tell you, hey, when you've received the gift of God's peace in your life, you know, what a great thing that is. The lost world's coming apart. They're shaking like a leaf. They're a bundle of nerves. See, that's what happens when you don't know the gift of God. See, the gift of salvation produces something. Joy in the Holy Ghost and peace and happiness that's beyond comprehension. The peace of God that passes all understanding. And you look at people and you think, what's missing in their life? The gift of God. And it's not because God's not offering that they don't have it. It's because they refuse to do what? To receive it. I told you one time in Trinidad, every year I would do it. I'd give away a $100 bill. at the different vacation Bible schools. And I say, okay, I got something here. I got a $100 bill. Who wants it? Who wants it? It's a $100 bill. And I would wave it. And all the kids would sit there in their seat and just look at me. And they'd think, you're not really giving that away. But I really was giving it away. And one kid would come up and say, I would like to have it. And I said, here you go. And then you go, they'd go, can you imagine what people are going to do one day when they get to hell? Yeah, you refused the gift of God. It was being offered to everyone. But only few get it. Because few are willing to receive it. Salvation is just like that. The Holy Ghost was just like that. Serenity was just like that. Peace. You see, you get all this in a bundle package when you receive the gift of God. And people are so afraid of the very thing they need the most. People are afraid of the peace of God when that's the very thing they need. You know, if any kid would have came up and got that $100 bill, any of them, and they all wanted it, but they were afraid to receive it. Thank God for the gift of salvation. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the gift of serenity. Thank God for the gift of spirituality. You know, people are afraid of spirituality. A lot of Christians are afraid of spirituality. And yet they shouldn't be afraid. You say, well, if I'm a spiritual person, what will that do to me? It'll make you spiritual. It'll make you happy. It'll make you blessed. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. And there are 8 spiritual gifts. And they were given to the church and given to Christians for their fulfillment, for their joy, and for their happiness. And it's amazing to me how many people are afraid of the gift of spirituality. Will you look at me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12? 1 Corinthians 12, if you look there at the end of the chapter, and verse number 27 to 31, it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. There's 8 spiritual gifts there. Thank God. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and I show unto you the more excellent way. God gave these gifts to the church for spirituality. And yet, there are so many who don't desire the gift of spirituality. We should desire God's gifts. You know, I say all the time, I want everything that God has for me. You know, we're going to get to heaven one day. We're going to find out God had all this and He wanted to give it to us. And we had so little because we wouldn't accept what God was offering. God said, hey, I got all this and I want to give it to you. He said, oh no, I got enough. You know, it's like going through the food line and someone said, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. Yeah, I've seen kids. We have when we had our fellowships, that table was full of food. And you see a kid go through a line and they come out of the end of the line. They got one little thing on their plate because that's all they wanted. Whose fault is that? Hey, if you go hungry after one of our fellowships, it's because of whose fault is that? That's your fault. Can I tell you, if you don't experience the fullness of Christ, that's your fault. Because God's offering fullness. And that's what spirituality is. We should desire the gifts of God and to know our spiritual gifts. And everyone has spiritual gifts. Most people have more than one. That gift of helps is very inclusive when it comes to, hey, different gifts. And that's where most of us fall. But people have gifts. I got the gift of gab. Man, I can talk and talk and talk and talk. You know that. Sometimes you wish that gift would be diminished. But you know, a preacher can talk and talk and talk and talk and never shut up. That's the gift of gab. But you know what? I also have the gift of demolition. I can break anything. You want something broken? Just let me know. I can break it I can break it usually in less than 5 seconds. I'm good at breaking things. But that's a gift. I don't know how great a gift it is, but it's a gift. My grandson has that same gift. Liam. He can break anything. I was laughing. Miss Lisa's got a pair of shoes she's been wearing for, my gosh, probably the last 10 years. That's not an exaggeration. I got to get a new pair of shoes every 6 months. I got to get a new pair of dress shoes, a new pair of gym shoes, new house slippers, new casual shoes. I mean, I get the Florsheim shoes that have the metal in them. They actually have metal in the heel and in the toe, and the longest they can last is 1 year. 1 year. And then I get the second class shoe, which is the Johnson & Murphy. I got a pair on today. Johnson & Murphy, they're brand new. I got them at a thrift store for $9. They won't even last 6 months. And that's the second best shoe. Brother Doug sold Johnson. Johnson & Murphy shoes are expensive, aren't they, Brother Doug? They're very expensive. But I can tell you, I can wear them out in no time. I mean, everything I got, I can wear it out in no time. Because I got the gift of destruction. Miss Lisa can have something. She can have it 20, 30 years. She can still be. She throws her stuff out just because it's out of style. I throw my stuff out. You don't want anything I've used. But it's used. It's used. It's not worth anything. And everything I buy has got to be expensive because it can't stand up to Brother Chris. If I buy anything that's cheap, I will break it the first time I use it. Everything, it's that way with tools, it's that way with clothing, it's that way with everything. Everything I buy has got to be good. Because I got the gift of destruction. And again, that can be a good gift when you need to do certain things. I got the gift of faith. I don't have trouble believing God for anything. I'm not one of these guys who goes around doubting everything. No, I go around believing everything. That's the gift of faith. But let me tell you, everyone in this room has some gifts. There's not one of us in this room that says, hey, that God hasn't given. No, God has given us all gifts. Amen. You know what I say? Embrace the gifts that God has given you. I've embraced the gift of gab. I've embraced the gift of destruction. Demolition. I can figure out how to take things apart. I've had that gift since I was 2 years old. Now, don't ask me to put anything back together. But I can take it apart. But thank God there's a diversity of gifts. If you look in chapter 12, again in verse number 4, you know what I'm glad? We all don't have to be the same. God likes diversity. How you know that? Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. God loves diversity. God uses people that are completely different to accomplish His will in His honor and glory. Chapter 12, verse 4, it says, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. You say, what's that mean? There's more than one way to skin a cat. If you've ever skinned a cat. We're not Chinese and Korean and Asian, right? Or we eat where they eat the cat and dog. But can I tell you, there's more than one way to do something. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. You know why God gives us spirituality? To profit with all. Verse number 13 says, "For one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether there be Jews or Gentiles, whether there be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now if God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." Hey, thank God for spirituality. And thank God that we all have different gifts. We all have things we love to do. Some people love to be on a computer. You know what I like to do with a computer? Smash it. That's what I like to do with a computer. I can't stand computers. I hate to get online and do anything. Now, some of you love that, right? I'm glad that some people love computers. Can I tell you, if the future of the world depended on me, the world would be out of luck. Because I don't like computers, and that's the future of the world. But thank God someone likes to write computer code. Thank God someone has a gift when it comes to that area. I'm one of these guys who likes the same thing all the time. You know, I've been wearing the same shoes for the last 30 years. I have. I've been wearing the same thing for the last 30 years. I wear the same Haggard pants, the same Haggard suit, the same Oxford white shirt, the same, you know, black shoes, whether they're Johnson and Murphy or they're the floor shine, whichever one you get, whoever dies and donates it to the thrift store, that's what I buy because I wear them out so often. But I've been wearing, you look at a picture of me from 30 years ago, and I'm wearing the same stuff. The same Levi jeans, the same Nike shoes, the same everything. You wouldn't want me to run the world. Because nothing would ever improve. But thank God, God's given diversity. Thank God, God gives different gifts to different people. Thank God for the demonstration of the gifts. You know why gifts are given? They're given to be used. How many gifts are you given that you never use? You get a gift, that's nice, put it in the closet. Could you imagine if all the gifts we were given we never used, we'd have a house full of gifts, wouldn't we? Now, this is a fact. Every year, $3 billion are given in gift cards that are never used. $3 billion. That is a lot of unused gifts. My kids gave me one time a Sears gift card for $150. And it was right before we moved from Cincinnati to come here. You know, we never did find that gift card. I was going to buy me a laser level, and I wanted. And they say, "Hey, you know, you can't buy nothing for Dad because Dad has everything, right?" Says, "Hey, Dad, we're just going to give you a gift card. Go get what you want." And I was going to buy me a Sears laser level, a Craftsman laser level, and I did buy one with my own $150. I never did find that gift card. We've given gift cards to my daughters, and they lost them. $3 billion every year go in unused gift cards. Can you imagine how many unused gifts of God go unused every year? Unused in the sinner's life, unused in the saint's life. The gift of salvation is the most unused gift that the world's ever seen. The gift of God's love, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of cleansing, the gift of newness, the gift of eternal life. And yet, every year it goes unused. The greatest gift ever given goes unused. The gift of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, it goes unused. The gift of serenity, God's peace, goes unused. The gift of spirituality. As a child of God, I can thank God for His gifts. And I want to exercise the gifts of God. I want to use the gift of God. I want to experience the gift of God. What are you doing with the gifts this morning? If you're in the sound of my voice, you're listening by chance. Those that are listening on YouTube, Sermon Audio, and Facebook, what are you doing with the gift of God this morning? Maybe you're sitting here, what are you doing with the gift of salvation? Oh, you say, that's nothing. That's not important. Your soul depends on it. Just like those kids who gasped when I gave that $100 bill away. And only one person got it. They could have had it, but they wouldn't come and get it. And all those people gasping in hell because they wouldn't act upon the gift of God. What are you doing with the gifts this morning? God gave us His gifts to receive, to enjoy, to experience. The gift of God. What did James say? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. God's reaching down with His gifts. All we have to do is receive them. Let's stand for prayer. Bow our head and close our eyes. Brother Doug's going to come, sing a song, and Susan's going to play. Have you received the gift of God this morning? Do you want to receive the gift of God this morning? Do you want cleansing? Do you want forgiveness? Do you want renewal? Can you imagine that woman at the well saying, "Oh no, I don't want a drink of water. I don't want that water that springs up into everlasting life. I don't want to be satisfied forever." Do you want the gift of God this morning? God's offering it. Do you want the gift of God? The gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness and cleansing, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the peace of God that passes all understanding. Do you want the gift this morning? God's offering it. The gift of spirituality. What are you going to do with God's gift this morning? Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word. And God, I've been obedient to preach what you put on my heart this morning. And I pray the Holy Ghost will be speaking to every one of us. Lord, you gave these gifts to be received, not to be refused. And God, I pray that you'd help every one of us here this morning, Lord God, to take those gifts, Lord, and allow them to flourish in our life. And not be like those who, Lord, take it and put it in a corner somewhere, or put it in a closet somewhere, or lose it somewhere. But to take these gifts and, God, allow them to be manifested in our life. Lord, I pray you bless the word, speak to hearts, bring conviction where it's needed, save a sinner. Lord, encourage the child of God. Lord, help us to walk with you in the light of your word. And I pray you bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. With head bowed and eyes closed, music's going to play. Brother Doug's going to sing. If God's speaking to your heart, do something about it.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. Calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love thou wilt roam farther and farther away. Calling today, calling.
Sing another verse, Brother Doug.
Jesus is calling the weary to rest.
Calling today, calling today.
Bring him thy burden and
Amen.
Thou shalt be blessed.
He will not turn thee away.
Music's playing, Holy Ghost is speaking. You know, the great thing about God's gift, he says, all yes. that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Anyone can have God's gifts. He doesn't refuse any. He doesn't reject any. His gifts never run out. Though millions have come, though billions have come, there's still room. But it always comes down to a choice. It's like the little kid picking one thing on the table and saying, no, I don't want anything else. God's fullness is there if you want it. The happiness, the peace, the joy, the fulfillment, the contentment. It's there for all who receive it. But the million-dollar question is, will you receive it? Will you receive it?
Yes.
Nobody loves you more than Jesus. And nobody has a better gift than what he's offering. But you have to receive it. All right, you can look this way. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. No greater place than to be in God's house. You know, the church is a gift. The church is a gift. It's a gift to the child of God. It's a gift to the community. It's a gift to society. And it's amazing to me how the gift has been scorned and mistreated. Can you imagine if there was no church, what our country would be like?
Yeah. Mm.
But it won't be long and the world's going to find out. Mm-mm. Because God's going to call his church up to heaven.
Yeah. Man.
And then they'll be under the terror of the devil himself. Mm. And they're going to find out the cost of refusing the gift. Thank God for the gift.
Yes, amen.
Thank God for the gift. Thank God for Jesus Christ giving. Thank God for the most wonderful time of the year. For Christmas. Amen. All right, let's pray. We'll be dismissed. And come back tonight for the service at 6:30. And then, of course, Wednesday will be at 7 o'clock. And looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. And I guess we'll have to brave the cold after tonight. And for those of you who love snow, maybe you'll get a little. How many of you here love snow? Say, I love snow. Yeah, just a few. I knew that. I'm not one of them. I love... I love the sunshine, brother. Yeah. I love 70 degrees. I love Chattanooga. Yeah, I hear you. I love snow as a child. But man, I don't love it as an adult. That's a fact. That is a fact. Of course, you know, folks who don't get to experience it very often, they love it, right? Mm. They love it. Now, us people get to stay home all day. That's kind of a good thing. I do like to drive my car around the snow. Drive around like it's, man, like it's a, yeah, like it's a smash-up derby. That's what my old truck is for. And if you see me coming, move out of the way. You ought to see it when it really snows. Y'all in your houses, there's people driving around on four-wheelers and all kind of crazy stuff, doing all kind of crazy stuff in the road. You say, how do you know that? Because I'm one of them. I love to drive in snow. That's the truth. But anyway.